Welcome back to another episode of the Additive Snack Podcast. I'm your host, Fabian Allerfeld, and today we're diving back into the medical space, specifically into the world of scoliosis. With us today are four incredible guests that have very interesting stories to tell. We're joined by Lisa Twirley, the CEO of Mine, who is leading the charge in a truly innovative spinal brace technology, leveraging additive manufacturing or 3D printing. We have Dr. Baron Lawner, a leader in minimally invasive scoliosis surgery. Isabel Rauch, or Liz, she is an orthodontist and works a lot with Dr. Lawner. Her company is called Orthotic Consultants. And last but not least, Livy Lasner. Livy is the founder of Save a Spine, and she's also has a personal connection with this technology and with the products that we'll be talking about today. And she's tirelessly working on making these products accessible to a larger patient group that is truly in need here. So together today, we'll explore a bit more how additive manufacturing is revolutionizing not only healthcare, but spinal health in this case, from a personal perspective, but also from a technology perspective. And therefore, without any further ado, I'd like to welcome you all to the show.
Thank you, Fabian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Livy, let's start with you, because your journey really is very inspiring. Could you share a bit more about your personal experience with spinal braces? And how did that lead to the founding of Save a Spine?
Well, I guess I'll start with the beginning. So I was in fourth grade and I had just gotten diagnosed with scoliosis. And so I was monitored for a couple of years, but then my back, my curvatures got worse. So it was time for a brace because it wasn't yet in surgical range. And so then my doctor was leaving the practice, and then Dr. Lawner became my doctor. Long story short, I guess. So then I was wearing the brace, and at first I was very rebellious towards it. And Liz can add on to that. She can attest I was very much against wearing the brace. I wasn't wearing it 16 to 18 hours a day. It was only 10 to 12. And then COVID hit. And then so I couldn't get a new brace, and I had grown out of my old one. And then my spine went to 45 degrees. And then I was in surgical range, and I kind of got the crap scared out of me. And so I became more diligent in wearing my brace and more motivated. And then I just kind of stuck with it. And my mom, just a quote that she always told me, she said that your mind can heal your body. And that's kind of the reason why I stuck so hard with wearing it. And because I wanted to fix myself without the need of a surgery, even though the surgery is very helpful to some people too.
Sure, sure. Maybe before we jump into the brace itself, Dr. Lana, could you actually explain to the audience a bit more what scoliosis really is and what some of the patient experience usually looks like?
Sure. It would be my pleasure, Fabian. And I'd also like to just, as part of that, mention bracing and what it takes to be successful with bracing, especially given Olivia's story. So scoliosis is a side curvature, so a curvature to the side, or a lateral curvature. It comes in different shapes and sizes, but the patterns and the appearance of the curves are very similar. And it's not just a curve to the side, but there's a twist and a rotation. And it's really a three-dimensional change in the spinal alignment. And the most common type is called idiopathic, which kind of implies we don't really know the underlying cause, although we do know that it's genetic in its origin and the most commonly presenting form in the adolescent, most commonly girl, who is more likely to need treatment than boys or young men and women. And so we treat scoliosis because as it gets more severe, it tends to have a life of its own, even increasing, especially with growth of an adolescent young lady, like in Olivia's case, it gets worse with growth. But then even at the end of growth, if the curves are large enough, it tends to progress or worsen over time in the adult patient even, and then it can become painful. And also what our patients have taught us, and we've learned so much from looking at patients and talking to the patients and doing research is that they really don't like the way it makes their, you know, changes their body shape. They don't like the appearance of it. So we work very hard to prevent curves from worsening. So the vast majority of young patients that we see don't need a brace or surgery, but about 1/10 of those do. And so if a curve is large enough and progresses, then we recommend a brace in a growing individual. And the goal of the brace is to prevent worsening of the curve, to hold it and prevent surgery. But also, especially with a well-made brace, we can get a shaping and molding of the body so that the body shape is better maintained and it looks better. And I'd say that in my nearly three decades of experience, the type of brace and the way the brace is made and how effective it is in correcting the curve when the patient wears it and how comfortable it is are really crucial. And then, of course, the patient wearing it, like Olivia decided, I need to wear this brace, otherwise I'm not going to have a good result. And her mom said, mind over body, and that to heal your body. And so we've seen such an evolution of braces over the years, from the old Milwaukee brace that kind of incorporated the neck, and it was obvious for the world to see, and it was very embarrassing for the patient, and had a big harness around the pelvis, and then very thick plastic braces that were bulky, uncomfortable. They weren't customized to the patient, and they didn't allow the skin to breathe, so it was very, there was a lot of sweating and perspiration. To now the brace that we've been using, and I'm going to let others speak to this, but the brace that we've been using, the Mind Design brace, which is 3D printed, is customized to the patient's body. So hugs Olivia's body in this case very nicely. So it conforms to her body, fits nicely under her clothing. It's thinner and lighter, so it's more comfortable. And there's a lot of vents that make it more breathable. So I think making a great brace with the help of Liz, the orthotist, and the company Mind Design, and printing it and collaborating together, and then having a wonderful patient like Olivia to wear the brace for the amount of hours, that's how we get success in preventing the need for surgery.
I just wanted to add on to what you said about the appearance. And I think that part of the reason that I was so reluctant and like didn't want to wear the brace at first was because I was kind of embarrassed and like ashamed about it. And I didn't want people to like treat me differently or look at me differently just because I had to wear something else. So I think, so COVID was honestly a blessing in disguise for me because I had the time to like focus on wearing it and I didn't have to worry about people like making fun of me for it. And when I got back to school after COVID, I kind of just realized like, I'm not doing this for anyone else. I'm doing this for me. And I always wore an undershirt underneath my brace, and like in the summer months especially, it was very hot, and I just let people see it. I was just like, you know what, if you have questions about it or if you want to say something about it, like just say it to my face. It's just like, it's not your problem.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you made the right choice there. But it also sounds like the type of brace makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Not only for comfort and success, but also how comfortable you are with wearing it.
Yeah.
Lisa, how did you get to a point in your career where you started to think about how can I solve this problem in that space, and can you take us through the development process and how you got to the point where you're now offering an additively manufactured brace?
Yeah, absolutely. But first of all, Fabian, I want to thank you and EOS for hosting this important conversation. So thrilled to be here with you and with three of you, with EOS as an important partner of ours, as well as our three of our best clinical innovators here. So I think this is a good discussion, and thank you for having us. In terms of my career path, the common thread has been that I've always been passionate about reducing preventable harm. That's been the common thread in my medical device career. And mine was actually born from my experience of designing and developing mass-produced spine and sports medicine bracing, and the realization that those off-the-shelf devices that we were making really just were a bad fit for the people, the providers, you know, and even our planet. And so the team and I truly believe that equitable design is a catalyst for profoundly improving life. And that's why we're champions of mass personalization and where the concept originated. And so now we partner with leading orthopedic practices, such as Dr. Longer in Mount Sinai and Liz at Orthotic Consultants, to modernize musculoskeletal injury recovery and simplify personalized care so everyone can access it. And what sets mine apart is that we're the first and only company able to personalize orthopedic and sports medicine bracing at scale. And therefore, we are orthopedics digitally tailored.
All right. Yeah. No, I think that's very interesting to see how, you know, we've seen some of these applications early on in other spaces in the medical fields where I think the impact was very critical in, you know, compassionate use cases where we first saw some of the additively manufactured applications. But now seeing it being widely adopted and, as you said, manufacturing these devices at scale, that's really where we need to be. And it's really awesome to have you setting the bar and walking in front of the industry. One very critical piece of this puzzle, though, is you, Liz, because obviously you are the one that really helps the patients to get access to these braces. How is mine different, or just the digital manufacturing approach different to the previous approaches that you have taken in the past when it comes to customizing these braces to your users?
I think it's cleaner and more direct. In other words, no more plaster casts. And when you get rid of the CAD-CAM step, and go directly from modifying one screen to printing, I think that there are subtleties that you lose in CAD-CAM. And it really gives me the ability to see a curve in three dimensions. So we're actually, I'm seeing what I'm trying to correct. And it's a very, very sweet brace. I mean, I go back to the Milwaukees, which were a disaster. These, I can tailor them, so they're pretty cosmetic. Livy, did you find that the brace itself looked pretty good, even though you didn't, in the beginning, feel you wanted to wear it?
Yeah, I mean, compared to the other braces I've seen in your office, I was very grateful that we had this technology and to be able to produce a thinner brace. And also, as sweaty as it was, the airiness and the holes in the brace really, like, were very beneficial to me.
Yeah, Lisa, did you bring an example just to show?
Here's a quick example of a device similar to one that Livy wore. It's 3D printed, and we can, as Livy said, you can choose the pattern. The patient can choose the pattern that they're wanting to be designed into the brace. Because it's 3D printed, as Liz mentioned, we don't have to do any of the secondary operations to do the assembly. We print the hardware directly into the device, which makes a sturdier structure and less opportunities for failures with the product itself. And the pattern has the secondary function of lightweighting the brace and also allowing air to pass through. And it's approximately, all of our patterns are at least reduced weight by approximately 43% over a solid device. So those are some of the benefits that you get, as well as the aesthetics.
Yeah, yeah, must be a huge comfort improvement.
Can I just add about this weight and air? I was particularly made aware of this on the group of patients that we had that transitioned from the conventional braces with polypropylene because they outgrew the brace. And we offered them this as an alternative, and they chose this. And they were the ones that transition group, which were very aware of how much lighter it was and airier it was and more comfortable it was. Which I think if you go directly into a 3D printed brace with all this lacy pattern effect, you don't pick up as much of.
No, that's very interesting. And I'm sure also from a clinical perspective, Dr. Lawner, it must be a very different approach to medicine when we're now talking about a personalized medical device. How are technologies like 3D printing impacting your daily life and your interaction with patients and with their treatment?
That's an excellent question. And, you know, in my almost 30 years now, I've really seen an evolution, a change in the way we practice medicine and spine care and scoliosis management, very much so. It used to be that we just have one answer for every patient based on the size of their curve. It's either observe for smaller curves, in other words, keep an eye on the patient, brace for curves that are larger and progressive, and then reserve surgery for the largest of curves. And surgery was one size fits all. It was a spinal fusion. But now we have different options. We have specialized physical therapy geared, directed towards scoliosis with different types of exercises that can help people in their function and breathing and the way their posture is and the way their body presents to the world. Because it's, you know, we're social beings, and the way we our appearance and the way we stand and our posture is very important socially. And then for bracing, you know, having this personalized and customized approach is fantastic. It used to be, you know, that the braces were essentially, there were a number of different sizes and they came off the shelf, and then Liz would mold them a little bit and use a heat gun and try to mold them, but they were monstrosities. And, you know, Olivia doesn't really know the monstrosities because she didn't wear them, although she saw some of them in Liz's office. But they really were terrible. And the patients, it's still difficult, Olivia, I acknowledge that. But we've come such a long way where now you have a brace that's customized. And as I said earlier, molds to the body, fits under clothing so much less visibly than it did before, lighter, more comfortable, and more breathable. So that's fantastic. And then in surgery, you know, we really listen to the patient and we listen to the families because their goals and aspirations and their lifestyle vary. And so in surgery, where we used to do spinal fusion only, now we have non-fusion options. And then we also can do fusion, or sometimes we do a hybrid where we fuse the upper part of the spine and do a non-fusion procedure in the lower part to preserve flexibility. And a lot of the pros and cons, all of the pros and cons are discussed with families, and we kind of customize to the patient and the family's individual goals. So, and another area where there is maybe 3D printing and customized implants is in pediatric scoliosis in general, where we used to have one implant that was used for adults and children and adolescents. And now we kind of have different sizes and shapes and models that are more appropriate to the individual based on their size and characteristics. So I think there's a lot, and I believe there'll be a lot more, including in predictive analytics. In other words, predicting long-term outcomes and who would benefit most from this, that, or the other thing in terms of our treatment options, and then what those results might look like long-term. And so that requires a lot of data and following patients and research. But I think that's the direction that spine care and scoliosis care is going.
No, 100%. And we see the first even smaller startups in the orthopedic space pushing into additive manufacturing. Restore 3D is one of them. We had them on the podcast as well. And yeah, they're doing incredible stuff with additive manufacturing and customized implants. Lisa, I'm wondering, because Dr. Lana mentioned new technologies and everything from even AI, I could see having somewhat of a role in the near future. How do you see your product portfolio and your company Mind evolving and growing alongside these innovative technologies?
So I would answer it two ways. First, our software tools are designed to translate, you know, the intricate body data from the scans into an inclusive, accessible, and, you know, sustainable medical wearable. And we're able to address the physical needs while considering those individual medical requirements and take into account the treatment approach, the phenotype, lifestyle, and to determine which device design is going to be the most suitable for that patient. with an end-to-end digital design process, our proprietary software, Genesis, is the first to really automate body-centric mass personalization workflows in 3D. And so the way that that works is we take the scan, we identify the relevant anatomical data and landmarks that we can capture. As you mentioned, you know, we can use machine learning or AI techniques to also help speed that up, the design process. And then we apply a digital mesh to anatomically correct and simulate the personalized product fit in the corrected anatomy, in the corrected body habitus. And so we can use parametric modeling and design tools to apply that healing alignment to the patient without having to secondarily correct it, like Liz had said, correct the mold or so forth. And then we generate, that's all done digitally, and then we can generate the print file and send that 3D geometry with the proprietary features integrated into it basically anywhere for production. So that expands access and allows us to reach a broad variety of patients who might otherwise not have this available to them.
Yeah, and that's actually interesting because I do see a common thread recently of companies that are leveraging additive as a manufacturing technology in the medical space, where it actually allows them to increase accessibility of certain devices that used to be not as widely accessible or so costly that also insurance wouldn't cover it. I think that's a very interesting impact that also your technology is providing to patients and future patients out there. And speaking of that, Livy, I know you also started an organization called Save a Spine. Can you tell us a little bit more about your mission there and what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, well, so I realized that braces are very expensive, and especially for people who don't have the right insurance. And I had to go through 3 braces in just 3 years. And I was thinking about how I can give back to a community that had helped me so much, like once I started like realizing that I was going to be weaned out of the brace soon. And I was so happy that I didn't have to go through surgery. So I decided to make a nonprofit, and Dr. Lawner's team put me in touch with Lisa, and she said that she'd help me fulfill this goal. And I wanted to help people who didn't have access to, or the financial means necessary for a back brace, but still needed it. And so I just felt like I needed to give back and help others who were facing a similar path as me.
Great initiative. Yeah, I applaud you. And I hope many people out there also hear this episode and figure out a way to help you achieve those goals as well. Liz, from your perspective, you're now adopting this innovative technology, but you're probably also one of the pioneers in your space. Where do you see some hurdles that we still need to overcome in order to make this more accessible to some of your colleagues in the industry?
I think that just broadcasting the fact that it exists is very important. A lot of people have jumped on the 3D scanning bandwagon, but they haven't adopted the 3D printing. I think that there's a hesitancy in some places to adopt new stuff. I like, if it's new, I want to know about it and I want to try it. And I've been very happy with it. I've seen the evolution. And I think just by writing about it, broadcasting it, these kinds of experiences will help it to be more and more widely known. I know that Dr. Lawner has patients that come to see him because they've been online and they've found him through that. So I think that all of that is important, because at a certain point, there's a lot of overload of medical information and people are going to the web to learn stuff. So that would be my feeling. There has to be more widely broadcast, as it were.
Okay.
I could add to that. I think, Liz, you're right. We've had patients really from all corners of the globe that have traveled significant distances to have a mind design brace with this 3D printing and additive technology. And I really think it's because of the dramatic improvements. And some people live in warmer climates, and you know, others just don't have access to the 3D scanning, and then of course the benefits of the 3D printing. So Liz, you know, to her credit, she's very modest, but she does not tolerate anything but the best, absolute best brace. It's not just the technology is sexy or it's interesting and new. It actually works. And Liz has been really instrumental in the care of our patients as one of the members of our team. And, you know, she's been a terrific asset. We just need to clone her and have a few more of her, and that would be great. And we've really enjoyed working with Lisa and her team because they're very forward-thinking and, you know, they're high-level in so many ways in terms of the engineering and the trying to deliver the brace to as many people as possible in an equitable fashion, I think has been their goal all along. So it's been really a pleasure to work with them because I see it from a scientific and mostly humanistic perspective. And people like Livy, that I have thousands of patients that I've treated in braces over the years, and this has been something of a change and special. And it's been remarkable to watch Livy grow up from a young and shy and then a little rebellious, not really liking that brace, and to someone who then took hold of it and said, you know what, this is mine. I own it. It's my brace. I'm going to wear it. And now she's a mature young lady who started this company to help others. And I think it's been terrific. The insurance companies do cover a lot of it, but there are some who are underinsured or poorly insured. And so that's where I think Liv's company has been really helpful.
I just wanted to say that going back to how great Liz is, she really helped me get through it. And I think that having somebody that you can trust within like your range of doctors is very good, and just somebody that you know that just wants the best for you. And also I think that she was very good at like finding the specific points in the brace that made it like just like feel good, like where the pads went and stuff to correct it the best that it could.
Thank you, because that's sort of what I wanted to get at. With working with mine, it's given me the freedom to try and tighten up one of our design parameters. That is, we're doing well with curves, but I want to do better. So working with the bioengineers at mine, I've been able to say, well, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that, let's try this, let's try that, and tighten up the kind of correction that we can get. Libby was special because she actually could articulate where she wasn't feeling pressure, that there should be pressure. And that's a very unusual ability. And that helped me, as the practitioner, be able to add those extra pads or force or pressure to get correction.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes innovation is nothing without the humans behind it that really make it work. And I think in this case, it's multiple facets of disciplines, not only from a manufacturing perspective or from a clinical perspective, but also from your perspective, Liz, and of course yours, Livy, as a patient and now nonprofit founder. I wonder, Lisa, you know, you've now developed this application that already has such great impact on patients that suffer from scoliosis. Are you looking into other fields of applications where you have you could use a similar approach, similar to the spine?
Yes, we are. I first wanted to just comment on what Dr. Lahner has said, and that yes, patients have traveled from all over the world, but that's because of the clinical expertise and the clinical care that they're receiving from Dr. Lahner and his team and Liz. And, you know, it really is clinical excellence. And we can put a technology is only as good, as you said, as the people that are using it and deploying. And so that's been an important part. Also wanted to mention quickly before I forget that Libby's website is saveaspine.com, right? So everyone should go there and check out what she's doing and hopefully pay it forward. But it, you know, it's been great, again, all of these relationships that we can learn from to better our approach to how we are sustaining life in motion, how we're improving the standard of care for musculoskeletal injuries. And, you know, I think that we have, as to date, we've commercialized a full line of custom as well as prefabricated custom fit spinal bracing, as well as upper extremity bracing. And now we are moving into a wide variety of body-centric designs that can, you know, encompass the whole body. If it's mass personalized to your body, it's something that we have an expertise to do. So along the continuum of care, whether that's preventive to acute to rehabilitation, you know, those are where we see ourselves being able to fill a role and being able to add to advance the standard of care in those, in all of those areas, working in conjunction with our technology partners and our clinical partners.
Yeah, it seems like this is just the beginning of our revolution in that space. Like I mentioned before, we've seen a similar approach in other industries 5 to 6 years ago, and they're really taking off. This seems to be a seed and a group of early innovators that are pushing this technology, and now it's moving into almost mainstream. And I'm really excited to see how this is continuously going to change people's lives. How can folks that are interested, if they're either in the manufacturing space, in the medical space, how can they reach out and learn more about this technology and how to implement it into their practices?
Okay, well, I think certainly we have patients that reach out to us from all over the world. And a lot of times we do an informal, we call it an e-consult, but it's really not a formal consultation until they come visit with us, because we can't really practice outside of the country or in states that I'm not licensed in, for example. But we have patients that reach out and give us a call or send us an email. And by doing so, we can then say, you may be a candidate for this brace or maybe for another treatment, and we can guide you to that. We have a family from Chicago that reached out, and I had a conversation with the mother, and I believe she had a conversation with Liz, and they're going to be flying in and have a Mind Design brace fabricated and through the process. So they can certainly reach out to us through my office or our email, and we're listed online as well. So not sure that I need to give that information out here, but it's my practice is Baron Lawner at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Okay. And how about you, Lisa? If there's now practitioners out there that want to adopt the Mind technology, how easy is it to get into your ecosystem and offer that as a solution to patients?
I think, you know, with the access of scan technology becoming much more prevalent, you know, we can now capture images even for the spine with a cell phone. We have a body scanner in New York. We have one here in Charlotte. We've got one in Atlanta and so forth. So there's different techniques we can use for capturing the images, but it is becoming much more accessible. We have focused mainly on leading orthopedic and spine practices in the U.S. However, our digital tools can, you know, obviously be accessed from anywhere. So our key is being able to get the good information in and being able to collaborate with people who are very much aligned with Liz and Dr. Lawner on getting excellent clinical results and putting the right information into the design process so that we can follow it through. But I would say reach out to us on the web at mind.design, or email me at Lisa at mind.design, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, awesome. Well, now that we've cleared that up and we have Lisa's email out there, thank you all for being on this show. I think it was a very interesting conversation. I love the different facets that we were able to cover, from you, Livy, as a patient, to you, Dr. Langer, as a clinician, Liz, your expertise and how the field has changed for you. And of course, also you, Lisa, from the manufacturing perspective, which obviously to us in the additive manufacturing industry is always important. And, you know, within our industry, we always talk about technology. We talk about materials and lasers and all of these aspects. But really hearing the full spectrum of impact that the industry is having and the impact that, you know, all of us are having in pushing innovative technologies into the market is really refreshing and motivating for us to continue to innovate and drive forward. So thanks again, all of you, for being on Additive Snack.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Terrific.
Okay, so this was another episode of the Additive Snack podcast. And as I just mentioned, I think it's clear that additive manufacturing isn't just shaping the future of medical devices. It's really changing active lives today. And it's opening up new possibilities for patient care, not only here in North America where these folks are sitting, but around the globe. And I do hope that we see a very fast adoption of this technology also in other countries. And to you, our audience, thank you for listening and joining us today. Be sure to follow us, like this episode, and share it on your favorite social media platform. We'd love to hear your thoughts and other suggestions for interesting episodes. My name is Fabian Adelfeld, and I'll see you next week.